SoundingTheAlarm.com. Warning, the events and issues of this broadcast are real and eternal.
This is Trevor Davis, sounding the alarm on March 5th, 2012. This is the themes for the week. I'm going to share today some of the key scriptural principles, some of the Word of God, really that stemmed out of a couple things I listened to. One was a personal conversation with someone that professed to be a believer. And the other was I listened to an audio that was on the internet and on internet radio with some very prominent, famous, well-known radio personality. There was three men that were talking on this audio. But the key things I'm talking about today is the gospel and salvation. And I see the need to discuss this and to go over these things because we're in the last days. And we need to stay on the straight and narrow way that's in Jesus Christ. Not go to the left, not go to the right, not add to the Word of God, not subtract from the Word of God. We need to be walking in the life of Jesus. He's our life. He is the way, the truth, the life. No man can come to the Father except by Him. And we need to be very, very, very careful that we're walking this fine line that's in the Lord. Through not only, not in ourself, not in our mind, not in our knowledge, not in our strength, but through the Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit. I love what Apostle Paul said in Galatians 6. He said, I'm crucified to the world, and the world is crucified unto me. And he talked about how he was crucified in Christ in Galatians 2:20. Nevertheless, he lived, yet not I who live, but Christ who lives in me, who loved me, and delivered himself up for me. It's a personal thing. It needs to be personal with us. And this is what I want to talk about today, is what is the gospel? Because there's a lot of gospels out there. There's a lot of messages out there that aren't the Word of God, that aren't the gospel of God. And Paul warned us about this in Galatians chapter 1. He warned us about false apostles coming with another Jesus, another spirit, in 1 Corinthians 11. We need to be very, very careful. Give heed to your salvation. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God that works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So I felt the need today, based on these two conversations, the most important thing that we could talk about would be, what is the gospel? Then secondly would be, are you believing it? And third is appreciating the gospel. And if you know what the gospel is and you believe it, it will change your life. It will radically transform your life, because you will be, your old sins and your will be forgiven and washed and cleansed and removed. And the power of that sin will be defeated through Jesus Christ. And you can walk in the glorious liberty that's in Jesus Christ through this Holy Spirit, if you'll yield yourself as members of righteousness. This is in Romans 6. If you are in Christ, you've been buried with Him. He's dead. As Christ was buried and was dead, you too, your sinful ways, the sinful flesh, is buried with Christ. And nevertheless, as He was raised from the dead, even so shall you be quickened by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is how we're to walk in the newness of life through Christ. That doesn't mean you're going to be sinless. It doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. But Paul said, if you yield yourself servants to sin, you'll be unrighteous and you will die and you will be in death. But if you yield yourself, your members, unto righteousness, you'll have life. And this is the thing. Jesus said, if any man come unto me, let him pick up his cross, deny himself, and follow me. So many people use the Lord, but they don't serve the Lord. I was talking to a man of God today about the genie Jesus that people think they're serving. They're not serving the Lord. They're using the Lord. They think He's a genie. They practice formulas. They go to seminars so they can get the things they want, so they can add them to their lusts, And this is what the Bible says in James. You ask amiss, that you may heap it upon your own lusts for yourself. This is not the way of the Lord. And this is important while you're still living today. You could hear the gospel and believe it from your heart. And you could be changed, transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you can yield your life for the rest of your days for the glory of God. And walk as Jesus walked. Walk in his steps. Be walking in the Spirit. So let's read what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and following. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received wherein you stand, but which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present time, but some are fallen asleep. Now, that's the gospel. And we have in the gospel the cross. And Paul was talking about how he was not ashamed of the testimony of the gospel nor of the cross. And some would seemingly move away from the cross because it's foolish to the Gentiles. You know, it's foolish to the people that are logical. But the foolishness of God confounds the wiseness of men. And the weakness of God confounds the strength of men. This is what he's ordained. So God's ordained the proclamation of the word of God, the gospel, for men to believe it. And that's how you become obedient, by faith, by believing. You become disobedient by disbelieving, unbelieving, unfaith. So, if you want to be set free from the power of your sin, you've got to have faith. And God gives every man a measure of faith. Faith comes from God. Faith is a manifestation of the Spirit of God in your life. And we can short-circuit that gift by our wicked heart of unbelief. Lots talked about this. So there's false gospels. Galatians chapter 1, Paul was talking about how, let me just read this from Galatians chapter 1, verse 3. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, then that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That's very strong language. And we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you, then that you have received, let him be accursed. How important is this gospel? Paul's saying, if anyone comes, I mean another prophet or a teacher or an apostle or a servant of the Lord or a disciple of the Lord or just some person comes preaching another message, another gospel, let him be accursed, and repeats it twice. We're not to stand with people that preach other gospels, other messages that have gone on a tangent. The Bible talks about those that have swerved and have gone astray and rejected the words of the Lord and even deny him that bought them through his own blood, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot at stake, ladies and gentlemen. This is life and death. This is eternal life with the Lord in his kingdom, or this is eternal judgment. And you're going to have to pay attention to these things because we have many deceivers out there in the world, many antichrists, like Apostle John said. Now, in Galatians, verse 12, Paul says, makes it very clear where this gospel comes. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I do believe that God has given us the Holy Spirit, Spirit of revelation, into the knowledge of God. That God, let the Lord be your teacher. God will use vessels, but it's still the Lord teaching through that vessel. And you need to have your eyes on the Lord, have your ears to him through the messenger. And then you'll know by testing and trying the spirits, those that are not preaching from the Lord. the gospel, according to verse 11, is not of man. It's of God. So I've been sharing with people that the gospel, the belief in Jesus Christ dying on a cross and being buried and resurrecting is not a religion. It's the word of God. It comes from God. And you cannot mix it with Buddhist or Zen or Hinduism or any other type of religion or Mormonism, any kind of ism. You cannot mix the faith of God through the holy things of God with carnal things from man's mind, from his imaginations that have been quickened by powers of demons and seducing spirits. That's what the gospel is. So what is the gospel? It's faith that Christ came to die for our sins, to take away our sins. He died on a cross. He was buried, according to Scripture, and for 3 days. After that, he was raised by the Spirit of God, according to the Scripture, and was seen by over 500 people, 500 eyewitnesses. That's the gospel. And when you believe this, it is the power of God unto salvation. It'll change your life. You can't just continue to walk in slavery. You can't continue to walk in darkness and say you know the Lord. This is so radical. But the church world generally does not believe, does not have faith. It's their business. It's a social club many times. And many other agendas that are to the left or to the right, or they've added or they've subtracted, and they've gone away from the Lord, just like ancient Israel and Judah did when God wrote upon Shiloh Ichabod, and he had departed. Or in the days of Jeremiah's ministry, the priest said not, where's the Lord? The prophet said not, where's the Lord? The Lord was not really part of what they were doing. And when Jesus Christ came to his own received him not. There's nothing new under the sun. The same is true today. But I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord is saying, seek my face. And as he said through Amos, seek not Bethel and go not after Gilgal, but seek me. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Seek his face. Hear his voice. And do what he says. Well, praise the Lord. I just want to say the third thing about appreciating the gospel. When you believe it, and you realize that God the Father loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that if you would believe on him, you would not perish, but you'd have everlasting life. And you appreciate the God's grace and his mercy, his kindness. And this is what the Word of God says, that the mercy of God and his grace has appeared in our Lord Jesus Christ. This affects you, affects your heart. It affects your passion for the Lord. You love the Lord. And you love people. Because God created people. And God loves people. God has ordained the proclamation of the gospel to reach people. And the will of God is for people to come into salvation. So what I'm saying is, if you know what the gospel is, and you believe it, you should appreciate it to the point that out of your mouth reveals the abundance of your heart. And the first thing you speak of is Jesus, is the love of God the Father that loves you, is rich in mercy and kindness, and what this great salvation that has appeared has come through this. You're not going to be trying to use the Lord. You're not going to be trying to go on a tangent of building your own religious enterprise, defile the Lord and misrepresent the Lord because you appreciate the Lord so much, you would not do anything to blaspheme his holy word. I felt this is so important. Again, after listening to a broadcast with very prominent men that professed to be believers in Jesus, even ministries, and they had an interesting topic, you know, the false prophet. You know, the coming of the Antichrist and Catholic prophecies. And this is very interesting dialogue, but with that great audience of hundreds of thousands of people, perhaps even millions, where was the gospel? Isn't that of paramount? Shouldn't people be hearing the gospel? What about the love for Jesus? What about the appreciation of his realness, that he would forgive us and cleanse us. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we need to be discerning. There's a lot of people that just use the Lord and use a lot of buzzwords. But you need to listen for the testimony of Jesus Christ, because that is the spirit of prophecy. Now you've heard what the gospel is, and I pray you believe it with all your heart. I pray you appreciate it and appreciate the Father that gave it. In Jesus' name. Another personal conversation I had with a man that was outside the religious world, and we had really a good conversation. But what I noticed as I meditated about that conversation was the first thing out of the man's mouth wasn't about Jesus, wasn't about the gospel, wasn't about how he'd been changed by the power of the Lord, but was his doctrines. See? And even there was even indication that he thought, we're saved by our knowledge, we're saved by our works, which is a false gospel. We're not saved by works. We're saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves, but it's a gift of God. And this is what's recorded in Ephesians chapter 2. Very, very important. Been listening to a good radio broadcast that's been discussing the error of religious people, professing believers in Jesus Christ, really entangling themselves in the political world, and voting, and for the sake of saving America, they're merging with Glenn Beck, a Mormon, who believes that God was a man who became God, and becomes man himself can become God through Mormon doctrine. Glenn Beck is a professing Mormon. A lot of people have labels, even Baptists or this or that. And really, it's not the label, but the danger here is that Glenn Beck professes to be a Mormon, and their doctrine is flat out denies the wholesome words of Jesus Christ, denies Scripture on many fronts. We can't be merging with others that preach false gospels, as we read earlier out of Galatians. If anyone comes preaching another Christ, don't receive him. I want to look up 1 Corinthians or false apostles and read that to you, what Apostle Paul was urging his people. Excuse me, it's 2 Corinthians 11. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. We see that people can transform themselves and act as ministers. Just reading what Apostle Paul said here in 2 Corinthians 11 verse 4, for he that comes preaches another Jesus, whom we've not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you've not accepted, you might well bear with them. He's saying, he's concerned that they're going to endure people that come preaching another Jesus or serving another gospel or another spirit. You know, the Mormon Jesus is another Jesus. It's not the Jesus of Nazareth that's in the scriptures. It's one they believe is a brother of Lucifer. You know, for the sake of Americana, entangling yourselves in the affairs of government affairs, trying to save America, when that isn't God's calling upon his people. God's calling upon his people is to live in peace among all men and to pray for those that are in leadership and to live a godly, peaceful life, working with our own hands, praying for people, being a light, being salt, and loving the Lord Jesus Christ and growing in our relationship with him. It's also to declare the gospel of Jesus. And it's Jesus that has the government on his shoulders, and he's returning. But the Bible also declares that in the last days, there will be evil leaders leading the wicked people that have forsaken the Lord, that have rejected the gospel for the most part. There's very few saved, very few. And when Jesus asks, when he returns, will he find faith? Very few. So you have people that are bent on involving themselves in the political world that are compromising the gospel, compromising the word of God, and they have not sanctified the Lord. And that is my second topic today. This proves that the religious world has utterly failed. The church world has completely failed to lead the people into sanctification, which means what? To be separate, to be holy, to be out of the world, to be changed, to be transformed by the renewing of the mind. That's in Romans 12. And the church has become so worldly. And now there's a movie coming out called The Monument, The Monumental. And it's strongly steeped in Freemasonry, which has other gods. And now religious men that are professing to be believers in Jesus Christ are not only joining forces with Glenn Beck, who's a Mormon, but are not showing they're sanctified by the Lord by participating with false gods and idols and statues and a myth that America's founding fathers were Christians when they hated Jesus Christ. They hated the Word of God. They hated God. And they refused to be corrected with documentation. And then you have people that are saying amen, amen, and going along with the show. Listen, don't go to the left. Don't go to the right. Don't add. Don't subtract. Walk in the straight and narrow way of Jesus Christ. And you need to sanctify the Lord. Be completely separate from idols. Be completely separate from other gospels and other spirits and other agendas. Some of the key scriptures here. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly or complete. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is God's will. This is Paul's prayer. Be sanctified, be separate, not be entangled, not be entangled in a false pseudo spiritual enterprise or goal, an agenda to bring about political leaders that are gonna take over the world. That's the Antichrist. That's not the Lord Jesus Christ. They're gonna have an Antichrist. And these guys that don't have discernment, they're misleading the people, and they'll accept the Antichrist. They'll accept it whole cloth. Hebrews 13:12 says, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of hope that's in you with meekness and respect. Sanctify the Lord within you. And as you do that and walk in him, you'll see how false these things are. And it'll be very disturbing to you. You need to be salt. And if the salt loses its savor, it's good for nothing but to be thrown out. It's not, you're not of use to God as a son and daughter of God if you're absolutely defiled and you're in bondage and you're worldly. Do you know that the Bible says to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace? Now, this is 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. See, everything we need is in Jesus Christ. The wisdom we need, the righteousness we need. He's our righteousness. You can't be going about your own righteousness. You can't be going around with your own knowledge. You need to trust the Lord. Take the Lord at his word. Believe it. And this is how God counts you righteous and sets you free from the power of sin and sets you free from the lies. You won't believe them. And God is, through Jesus Christ, is sanctifying you, cleansing you, separating you, making you holy, fit for his service in his eternal kingdom and redemption. The redemption that's in the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:31, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord.